right, if you would, grab your Bibles, turn to the book of John. We'll be in John and we'll be in Matthew to start off with, and then we'll go to a couple different places as we go along. But we'll start off in the book of John and then in the book of Matthew. And Brother Mark just read the verse, and we're going to read it out loud together. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And if you're able to and willing to, would you stand with me in honor of God's word? I know you have this verse memorized, most likely. But I want you to look at it. And I kind of want to ask you, if you would, try to look at it with fresh eyes. And maybe a realization again, you know, to be reminded of the greatest gift that's ever been given. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? Ready, begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to talk to you tonight about the presence of God's presence. The presence of God's presence. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we need you tonight. Thank you for the message and song that was presented. And Lord, as we transition now into the Word of God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help these the events of tonight to tie together. Lord, our hearts Bible says is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We need you to work on our hearts. We need you to speak to us. I don't want to waste anybody's time tonight. And Lord, we don't want to do this in vain or just out of ritual. I'd ask that you would help me. And Lord, that as we look at your word, we would look at it with a fresh heart, fresh eyes, and Lord, a willingness to hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. You remember the first Christmas gifts that your children gave you? The first Christmas gifts maybe that they wrapped, that they gave you. I referenced this a week or so ago. It still happens in our family right now, but with each of our kids, those first Christmas gifts that they wrapped were impenetrable. They used so much scotch tape on those things, enough maybe to wrap 10 or 20 gifts. Paper underneath was usually not nice and straight. The paper underneath was usually wrinkled and torn, kind of evidence of multiple attempts to wrap the gift or to get the corners straight, or something was torn or something along those lines, but they were trying to get it just right. And then they'd write their name, usually in a Sharpie, and not on on one of those tags. I mean, the label might have been on there, but you could, because your mom or your dad, you can read your kid's writing, but nobody else could. You have to, you know, use some kind of Duolingo to be able to figure out, if you know what that app is, be able to figure out what it says. But you need a translator. But you know what it says, and if you didn't know what it said, you just go, oh, wow. Did you when Autumn and Levi were both young? They're closer in age than Autumn and Chloe are. And so when they were both young and we got gifts from them, I'd have to look at, you know, is that from you? Yeah, you. Yeah. And you just have to figure it out what's going on here. Regardless of how it was wrapped, regardless of what they did to it, regardless of their attempt at making it just the right gift and whatever they wrote on it, the thing about it that was special to you and it was that it was wrapped in love. Okay, and I don't mean that in a cliche type of way. I really don't. All right, Josiah loves getting a gift for mom, and it's usually the same thing. It's usually candy. Now he's gonna get a little creative and get something else, right? But he's getting older now, so he has had a couple things beyond candy at this point. But regardless of it, the attempt to get it just right and the love that was behind it was a joy to their heart, and it's a joy to my heart too when I open it up and or watch my wife open it up and you know, a wrapped gift allows for the joy of discovery. We could just throw toys into the Christmas tree, right? No wrapping, just throw it under there. But the idea of it being wrapped and uncovering it and discovering it is a special thing. And it's a lot more fun to anticipate, a lot more fun to kind of shake it. What's in here? And this one has Josiah's name on it, Joe. So, and discover what's in it. You know, kind of one corner at a time. Some of you, how many of you are the ones when you unwrap a gift, you're just kind of, you're careful about it. You want to save the wrapping paper. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? You're careful about it. How many of you just dig in, just rip it right off? That's right. That's the way to do it. Don't worry about saving it. And yet one study revealed that each year Americans use over 38,000 miles of ribbon to wrap their Christmas presents. The presents themselves are covered in 4 million tons of wrapping paper and gift bags. Apparently we like wrapping gifts. Or maybe we like unwrapping gifts. Christmas is the kind of gift we can unwrap for our entire lifetime and will not completely discover all that it means, right? We will not completely discover all the enjoyment. The truth is that most of these gifts that our kids get are either broken or lost within a month, right? And or they're in the closet or they're under the bed. And when mom goes in to purge the room and the kids haven't played with it in like a year, all of a sudden they get upset and say, "No, that's mine. You haven't played. You didn't know it existed still." But when it comes to the greatest gift that has ever been given, we can enjoy it for a lifetime and still not completely discover or understand God's infinite love for us. And usually we think of Christmas as an event, and what an event it was. I mean, honestly, Jesus came to earth over 2,000 years ago. He was born of a virgin, laid in a manger. He was heralded by angels, worshipped by shepherds. That was the first Christmas. But it's more than an event. It is a gift. Jesus is a gift. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. And through that, we then experience many things about this gift. We experience God's presence. We experience his peace. We experience continual joy. But best of all, Christmas is a gift with your name on it. This one has Joe's name on it. The one underneath has Autumn's name on it. And the one underneath that has Autumn's name on it. And the one underneath that has Levi's name on it. Babe, we just are, Chloe, sorry. We don't got anything for you. You know, and that's all we got this year. There's no other gifts for our kids. And that's just, you like it or you lump it. You know, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. Amen? No, I'm kidding. There's plenty more at home. God's gift for you has your name on it. And it's God's love for you personally. Delivered through Christ to you. With Christmas, it's usually consumed with planning, shopping, wrapping gifts, children Christmas school parties, gift exchange at work, family celebration. The month of December is just swamped with preparation for others and trying to appease and cater to everything that is demanded of you to go on, and you're just like, and for those of you who care, and I know many of you do, it takes away from the purpose of Christmas. Amen? It does. I was just talking to a family about that last week here in the church, and if we're not careful in the rush of all these things, we miss enjoying what God has given to us. Consider for a moment the significance of the tiny baby in the manger. It represents the very presence of God. And as the angel told Joseph, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. That's why I said the presence, God with us, the presence of his present, Jesus Christ. Christmas is the gift of God's presence. Have you ever stopped to consider what life would be like without Christ's presence? Hold on. Have you ever stopped to consider what your life would be like without you knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior? How many have been saved for 10 years or more? 20? 30? Have you ever stopped to consider how different your life would be without God, without Christ, without Jesus as your personal Savior? How different would your family be? How different would your entertainment be? Your desires, the things of this world? How different would it have been going through the trial that you went through if you didn't have God? What if Jesus had never come? Think about it this way. How different would your life be if your kids had never been born? Like, what would that have been like? There's no question that the arrival of a new baby changes everything. The first thing about this gift is that it means that God is with us. That's the first thing. One thing that we enjoy about God's gift to us is it means that God is with us. This would represent that. God with us. You know, one very little person has a way of taking control of an entire family. When the baby arrives, life changes. Altered for everyone. And there's nothing really that reminds us of the miracle of birth like holding a baby. 1 Sure, it's a joy when a baby arrives. All four of my kids were and are a special blessing, but wow, did you change our lives? Suddenly sleep was affected. There's all this new stuff in the house. My wife went from calm to calamity. There's stinking diapers. There's crying. And then when they get older, they stink and cry in a different way. And but more seriously, as I did hold each of our four children, I couldn't help but marvel at the newly created life. It's amazing. When Chloe was born, I was just amazed. I just thought, wow, this is the most amazing thing ever. I'm holding her, scared to drop her, didn't know how to handle babies. And I just thought she's such a precious thing. I called her a princess. That was the only time I ever called her a princess. I'll just leave that alone. But nothing, it's just an amazing thing. But Jesus' birth was a miracle for a different reason. In fact, not only was his birth a miracle, but his conception, as we talked about this morning, was a miracle because Jesus is God. Amen? And he could not be conceived through the natural process as other men. And that is why one day in the small town of Nazareth, a young Hebrew girl received a surprise visitor, and Mary was actually the first to learn of Jesus' impending arrival. She was betrothed to a young man named Joseph and was no doubt happily looking forward to marriage. But Mary's world was forever changed the day Gabriel visited her. There was no forewarning, no indication she'd receive an angelic messenger. He just suddenly appeared and said, Luke 1:28, "Hail thou that art highly favored." He greeted her that way and he said, "The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Talk about startled. Talk about a surprise. Talk about a shock. Something unexpected, more like rattled. And I'm sure that Mary had it prepared for a visit from heaven that day, and she hadn't prepared for the news that the angel had brought. But no wonder she was, the Bible says actually in Luke 1:29, that she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. But Mary had more to say. Go to Luke 1, please. Luke 1, chapter 30. Gabriel, the angel, had more to say. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, he said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And I can imagine Mary trying to absorb what she had just heard and what she had just experienced. Of all things, an angel from heaven had just visited her, and what had he announced? He announced literally, God is coming to be present with you. God is coming to earth, and he is entering the world through my womb. That's amazing. Just kind of stop and try to absorb with Mary the significance of this. God himself is taking on flesh and coming to live among us. He came for you. He came for me. If you were the only one ever to live, you were the reason he came. Somebody said, he who never began to be, but eternally existed, began to be what he eternally was not, and continued to be what he eternally was. Try to wrap your mind around that. God with us. This gift means that God is with us. Second thing about the gift God gives us is that he understands us. We'll have this one represent that. God understands us. Just the fact that he came means that God understands us. The significance of this gift, God with us, we realize that we can never again, once we realize God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, that was the first gift, we can never again accuse God of misunderstanding us or misunderstanding our circumstances or saying that God doesn't know or that God doesn't understand or God's out of control or something is not right with God. There's no possible way. An unknown author wrote, the wonder of it all that in a manger stall that night in Bethlehem, God became a man. One of us, the Holy Child, was born. He became one of us on that Christmas morn. John 1, turn there if you look at John chapter 1, verse 14. Bible says, and the Word was made flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here's the thing. God does know what it's like for us down here on earth. He came in person, wrapped, not in this beautiful wrapping paper. He came wrapped in a tiny human body, in human flesh. He lived among us. He experienced human life from our perspective and through our limitations. He knows the trials that you go through. He understands the pressure that you feel. He is Emmanuel, God with us. It means that not only is he with us, but it means that he understands us. He understands you. Have you ever longed for someone in your life who could just understand? Nobody understands how I feel. Nobody really knows what I'm going through. Mom, you don't understand. Dad, you don't understand. Or you've been longing for somebody who has experienced what you're going through. Jesus is that someone. He experienced the pressures of living in a sin-cursed world. He felt the guilt. He felt what sin could do. When he saw the guilt on human flesh, he felt the full gamut of human emotions, including rejection, loss, grief, heartache, loneliness, joy, encouragement, and victory. He knew the harsh realities of government oppression. He felt the strain of poverty. He knew obscurity. He felt the pain of unpopularity. He felt the pain of popularity. He ate, he slept, he walked, he talked, he interacted with others. And not to contradict the author of the song of Away in a Manger in any way, but as a baby, he even cried. He needed care. He grew. He built relationships. In other words, he lived what you live. And he became one of us. And obviously then Christ can, not sympathy, empathy. But it's like a divine empathy in our burdens and in our struggles. But as God, he can give so much more than just that. Remember, he's 100% man, but he's 100% God. Amen? And he was fully human, born of Mary, but he was at the same time fully God, conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was literally deity wrapped in human flesh. And as a human, Christ knows what it is like for us down here. And as God, he can do something about it. As a human, he knew what life was like. He understands. He has divine empathy. But as God, he can do something about it. And this is why, go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 through 16 encourages us to bring our needs to his understanding. Bring our needs to his knowledge. Bring our needs to his ability. Bring our needs to his ears. Because Hebrews 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." Here's the victory. "Yet without sin." You ought to go to the expert when you have something you need. Talked this morning about how my wife broke our window in the van. The window regulator broke and the window fell in the door. So I went and got a replacement for free because it was under warranty. And at AutoZone, which just means it's going to break in 3 years again. But it was raining that day when I was working on it. So I went to my mom's garage, and in her garage, I fixed that. And then I fixed another part of the door that's been broken for a while. And I thought, my wife's going to be super happy and pleased with me, and I'm going to score big bonus points. But then as I'm backing out of the garage, I see oil all over the floor. I'm not talking a few drops. I'm talking a bunch of oil. And long story short, I found out that it is the oil filter housing that you have to get into the upper intake manifold, the lower intake manifold, and the oil filter housing of that particular vehicle is a $1,000 part. Turned out to be $222 at O'Reilly's. I know a guy who can get discounts who got even cheaper than that, praise the Lord, and about $50 off of that. But when I got to O'Reilly's, and I was just trying to figure out what it is it a gasket? What's going on? I just mentioned it in just passing to the guy. He happened to used to be a technician at Dodge. And so he goes, "Explain it to me." And I told him, he goes, "I don't have to look at it. I know what it is." But he went out there, we walked out there, and literally he pointed to me exactly where the oil was leaking from. We got back in behind there, and I mean, just in about 5 minutes, boom, I saw what it was. And I didn't mean to go to the expert, but I went to the expert. And it was surely a blessing. So I'll dig into it, and we'll get that fixed later on. But it was a huge blessing for that to happen. You understand that when you go to God in prayer, and you bring your needs to his understanding ears, he's the expert. And so the Bible says then, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That gift of Christ's presence means that we can bring him into our needs and he understands what is going on. And then the last gift I wanted to talk about is the fact that if he is present with us, and he understands our needs and knows what's going on in our lives, then that means that also he can help us. Help. Help is the last gift. Help is nice, isn't it? Help is nice. Some people are stubborn and refuse help. I guess I'm one of those. But we refuse help. I've been a pastor long enough now to know that not everyone approaches this Christmas season with joy and peace. For many, this time only serves to mark a heavy underscore beneath their own loss. And so I'm not just saying that just because it's always said. I've experienced that in people's lives. And there might be an empty chair at a table, a missing card from out of state, a tradition that feels so empty without the person who's gone. Others struggle under the added financial burden of the season. Somebody, a lost job, a fearful setback, This is all real things. A home in foreclosure. And yet Christmas comes whether they're ready for it or not. Parents long to fulfill their children's expectations. And they get stressed out. And yet they are staring at an empty bank account. They're seeing it Christmas cards and softly glowing lights and they seem to suggest, you know, your Thomas Kincaid pictures and stuff like that, that this is a season of perfectness, nostalgia, a time when everyone can rest and we can reflect and we can just enjoy that time and make family memories. But sometimes reality says otherwise, and real people live lives that are filled with loss and pain and brokenness. And let me say this, that's why Jesus came. Consider the first night there. Jesus didn't come to a perfect world. He wasn't born in a perfect setting. He came to a dark world, steeped in sin, riddled with pain. He was born into poverty and grew up under the strain of political oppression. See, the thing about this season, if you really want to be truthful about it, is that it reminds us that this fallen world will never be perfect. So you're ruining Christmas for you, for me, Pastor. I believe you're doing that. Remember, though, this gift is God. Literally. It's God. He didn't have to come. He didn't have to endure this. And he definitely didn't have to give his life for our sins. He chose to come. He chose to leave the splendor of heaven to dwell amongst us. He chose to live with us, to know us, to love us. He chose to die for us and chose to help us. And now he reminds us that he stands ready to help us. Why? Because he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And we never have to face another need alone. You have God on your side. I love the rhetorical question of Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So, if that night meant that God had come to help us, that first night meant that God had come to help us, what does that mean for us today, during this year, during this season, Christmas season 2023? It means this, that we must remember to allow his presence, the presence of God's presence, allow his presence to shine in our lives, in our darkest circumstances. Sometimes we face some pretty dark circumstances, don't we? Dark. But he's the light of the world. John 1 tells us. He's the light. And John came to bear witness of that light. And if you're saved, you have that light in your heart. And you're to be the light of the world. A dark world. And we must remember to allow the light of his presence to shine in our circumstances. G. Campbell Morgan said, what we do in the crisis always depends on whether we see the difficulties in the light of God or we see God in the shadow of the difficulties. And Christ's presence wasn't just for Mary and Joseph and the shepherds that night as they worshiped him. It's for us too. And God, as God, Christ has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, if you're saved tonight, his presence is with you forever. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. The next verse in Hebrews 13 tells us this, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God is our refuge and strength. Psalm says, a very present help in trouble. Christmas says the same to us. God chose to wrap himself in helpless humanity and give his life for us. And I think we forget that the gift of Christmas is the gift of his presence. So what happens as a result? It means this, that he changes us. He changes us. If you're saved tonight, say amen. He changed you. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He changed you. You were headed for hell. Now you're, heaven is your promised home. It's not just a stirring sentiment. It's a radical life change. From the moment Gabriel announced to Mary that she'd carry the Christ child, all the way to hear the cry of a baby, Christ's presence changed life for everyone. And all through his ministry changed lives. Listen, he gave sight to the blind, hearing the deaf, words to the mute, strength to the lame, healing the lepers, gave life to the dead, fed the hungry, comforted the hurting, taught the words of life, lived with grace and compassion. He rebuked the proud, cast out devils. Everywhere Christ went, he brought change, not always change in circumstances, but change in lives. And then he did the ultimate. Go to John 18:37. I want you to see these words. He did the ultimate. He did all of those sayings, and then he gave his life. He gave his life for you, bearing in his body the sins of all mankind. Your sins and mine. And I mentioned it this morning, but I want you to look at it in John 18:37. Literally, as Christ is about to face the cross and he's being questioned by Pilate himself. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Then Jesus says these words, to this end was I born. We're celebrating the birth, but why was he born? It's right here. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Why? That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. To this end was I born. Gave his life for you and for me. And when he rose from the dead 3 days later, here's the thing. He proved that he has the power to change lives. That's the last thing. Changed life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How many of you don't do some of the things that you used to do that you knew were a sin against God? They were wrong, and you have victory. Anybody? A changed life. Change life. Some of those changes didn't happen in an instant. That's why you've got to rely on his presence daily. His presence didn't end at salvation. If you're saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart. He's taken up residence. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Greatest gift ever given. The presence of God's presence. So take time. Yeah, decorate the house. Make cookies. Organize parties. Have fun. Bake, shop, wrap, sing. If you have any leftovers of your food, you can bring it to me. But in the midst of it all, don't forget the presence of God's presence. He's present with you right now. Right now. God with us. He understands your needs. He understands you. And he's a very present help. And one author said, Christmas is not about presents. It's about his presence. And another author said that he wanted to add to that, Christ's presence is actually a present. That's why it's called a gift. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten. Every head bowed, every eye closed at this time. God in heaven, Lord, thank you for this night. Lord, thank you for the gift that's wrapped in human flesh. Gave his life, though. Wasn't just born, gave his life, died, rose again to give us eternal life.